May we be helped to commence our worship this morning by singing together hymn number 767, hymn 767, to the tune Moriah 495. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let Thy light within me shine. All my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. Thou, my dross and tin consume, let Thy inward kingdom come. All my prayer and praise suggest, dwell and reign within my breast. Hymn 767, tune Moriah 495. together from the most holy word of God, from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, and we'll read chapter 10. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching.
For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, O do solemnize our hearts and minds now, that we might rightly approach unto thee. Thou who art holy, 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 and that we might rightly have that sense of what we are. Sinners indeed, sinners in need. Oh, to have that right view of thee. We verily feel many have that view of thee which comes very short. But when we are brought to tremble before a holy, holy God, one that searches the heart and tries the ways, one that does by his light reveal the hearts of man to the man, and is brought to this whereby he has to say of sinners of whom I am chief. He cannot cast a stone at another, for he sees so much within himself, and he knows what it is to tremble under thy word. But oh, what a mercy if we've known what it is to tremble under thy word, and perhaps as one that trembles under thy word this Sabbath morning. But oh, we thank thee for that new and living way whereby a poor sinner, yes, even as a hymn writer put it, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. Ah, that one that was dead in trespasses and sins before, but now by the Spirit's work he lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, that one, through the offering of himself, a precious Christ, that, yes, satisfy the law in all its demands where we fail and ever will. Ah, that one that truly satisfied the law and cried out, "It is finished." And blessed be God, raised again for the poor sinner's justification. That one sitteth on the right hand of the Father, having ascended there, waits to be gracious, and the voice of poor sinners' cries will answer them. Oh, may we be found as a beggar poor at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. The beggar poor, with all their wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Yes, they're welcome there. And when we're brought to consider that one that so walked here upon the earth, condescended to be a man and die, but whilst here in that lowly path which that is walk, thou art not ashamed to be seen eating with publicans and sinners. Thou art the same. Thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. And oh, what a mercy to be pleased to condescend to some poor sinner this day. Some poor publican and sinner. Break the bread of life unto them, which is thyself. Make thyself known to them through the lattice of the gospel, which is through thy word, by the foolishness of preaching. Make known unto them, they might truly handle, taste and feel of thee this day, that which is divine reality. They might truly taste that thou art gracious and merciful. And yes, that I might prove thy word as thou hast declared through the apostle, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound and does much more abound. And perhaps one, they find an adversary at their right hand to resist them. They've come into thy courts and the adversary says, "Well, look at what has been revealed to you. You're beyond the power of that grace and of that salvation." The word of God, may it enter in with power where sin abounded. That sin abounding, is it not that which stands out against them, that debt that they owe to the law and what the law demands? That debt which is beyond whatever they can do or any other man can do for them to pay that debt. But all that debt that they owe, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, may they yet prove the adversary to be a liar. They might prove that there is plenteous grace to be found with thee. Plenteous grace. May they yet prove that that fountain open for all sin and uncleanness. We read of the accounts of Mary and Manasseh. And the apostle did declare of himself of sinners of whom I am chief. It's for the chiefest of sinners, such as the Apostle Paul felt he was, and the Marys and the Manassas, and all may be made known unto one or another, them likewise, that there is a fullness that resides in Jesus our head, as the hymn writer put it, that ever abides to answer our need, but those needs of a sinner, that groaning, burdened sinner, there is a fullness that resides in Jesus our head, and that fountain, home for all sin and uncleanness. Ah, yes, may they prove the efficacy of that shed blood, the blood of the sacrifice. And yes, and as the hymn writer put it, the dying thief, regarding the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Or may they likewise prove that which can cleanse from the guilt and the power of sin. So do look down upon us as we've entered into thy courts and been favoured so to do. May there be, as we read that psalm this morning, there might be amongst us each here those that know what it is to hunger and thirst after thee, yes, to come into thy courts with a living desire. Ah, not through custom. Ah, yes, not through custom. But all to become, be brought into thy courts because thou hast wrought it in their heart. Give me Christ, or else I die. And longing for thee to speak into their soul. Perhaps that is the desire of one or another. Say unto my soul. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And so we would plead for each one that has gathered, and we bear before thee once again our dear sister in the faith laid aside once again. Go to her where she is in hospital. Oh, bless all the means used for her good, and perhaps it is those adjustments to medications, but thou knowest, but all may it please thee. Ah, favour in her soul. Ah, favour her that, yes, these things are amongst thee, all things that work together for good. Yes, it's to our natural thoughts is cross and quite contrary. But all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And we have to prove, we not each one in our measure, that thy ways are past finding out, and thy thoughts are not as our thoughts, and neither are thy ways our ways. So we plead for her, and any others that are laid aside on beds of affliction, go to them where they are, make their bed for them. May they prove that thou art those everlasting arms, the God of Jeshurun, the one that has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So do grant them those comforts. May they prove, as thy word declares, that thou art the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. But do remember us each here, and we think of the little ones, the babes in arms, and the little ones that, oh, we see them growing up so fast. Lord, we plead for them. May they be found yet as vessels of mercy. Or may there be that brought in their heart whilst young in years, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. That fear of the Lord, which, yes, will in that way guide their path, and in that way, perhaps not in the fear of the Lord, the tender fear of the Lord, that which is through love. But oh, when we look back over our lives, can we not say it was a fear of the Lord that kept us from this or that? So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Our old nature would have done this or that, and would love to have done this or that. But all that which was a fear of the Lord, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. So may the fear of the Lord so guide them as they walk in their path in this, yes, this sinful world with all its attractions, and the subtlety of Satan saying, well, this is not so bad, there are other things which are worse. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. So do keep them, hedge them about. Oh, some of us look back to those times we are thankful now that thou didst close up or prevent certain doors from opening. Yes, it was much against our natural thoughts and the intents of our heart. But now we can say, what a mercy, what a mercy. Yes, that thou didst hedge up our way and prevent this or that. Yes, it might have had that advantage as man looks upon it, as wealth or influence, or as man may have looked upon us and would have done much to serve our natural pride, but all kept by the power of God. So to keep them by thy power, keep them close to thee. May they know it is to call upon thee in their times of trouble, and may they yet know that filial fear, which is love, through love. We plead for them. Remember parents as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant them that help, we plead. And certainly as regards schooling and all that is thrust upon children in the day in which we live, enable them to stand fast for the truth. Grant them that help to counter those things which are promoted. Oh, at times we feel we have not that wisdom, but oh, we read in the Epistle of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And so to remember each one in the pathway of life here. Yes, from the youngest as we prayed for them, but certainly parents and those that bear the heat and burn of the day. All the cares that seem to be abundant in our day, care upon care at times. But oh, may we prove, oftentimes there is help laid upon what is mighty. Trust, we proved it, dear one, oneself, even recent times. There is help laid upon one that is mighty. When things seem to be impossible, may we prove that nothing is impossible with thee. So to enable each one then in the midst of life, whether it is a housewife, a mother in the home, those in their workplaces, in those things which have to be attended to, may they prove, yes, even in the busy scenes, the necessity of this. Then they cried unto the Lord. But may it be by the moving of the Spirit within them, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Oh, may they prove then, thou art a helper of the helpless. Those things which have to be attended to, those things which seem at times so impossible, the mountains seem so high, but thou canst make even those mountains flow down at thy presence. And when thou dost speak, oh, it proved, dear one of oneself, a few weeks ago, when thou dost speak, and it comes without power into the very soul, does it not lift up the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, and it gives that new spirit of prayer, that new sharp threshing instrument having teeth? We're enabled to plead the word which the Lord gives. The word which gives us a hope in this or that circumstance. We prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. We prove there is that one that truly waits to be gracious, and the voice of thy cry will answer thee. So to remember each in the midst of life with all its attendant cares. And may they prove also in the ways of providence Thou art a God of providence and a God of grace, a God for time and a God for eternity. And in the ways of providence, as we think upon it ourselves, and many a time we proved it, the gold and silver thine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Thou art able to provide, art thou not, more than we can ask or even think, according to thy riches in glory. Yes, all our needs, not our wants. Our wants and our needs are quite different. Our old nature wants this and wants that. But when we're at the feet of Jesus, when we are softened under the mighty hand of God, when we prove this, the Lord knows our needs and is able to supply the needs according to his riches in glory. Do remember us here as little cause and church and people. Remember our dear brother at the desk and his dear one. They bear the burden of the cause Sabbath by Sabbath and week evening by week evening. Lord, do grant them that strength sufficient for each time, each moment, each hour. We often say for the day, but it is that moment, that hour, in that very time, those minutes, those seasons. Lord, do grant them that help and strength sufficient, Sabbath by Sabbath and week evening by week evening. And we plead for thy servants that come and are found in thy courts here. Well, we thank thee for it. But yes, there's been meat in thine house. Well, there's been meat in thine house, but whether it is a read sermon or a preached sermon, we know at times when we used to have to read sermons, those sermons of old, perhaps going back even to the 1800s or earlier, they came with that power again. Yes, they are now laid in the grave. They're now around those that preach them, around the throne of God in heaven, singing thy worthy praises. But that which has been left on record as they spoke in thy name. So it is the word of God preached by them as thy servants. And it comes with that power. And at times we've known those seasons when, yes, that which was preached those many years ago has so entered in with power. And we've been melted under the hand of God, by God, through, yes, even those things so left on record by this one and that one. And so we plead thou wouldest bless read sermons and prayer meeting addresses. Attend them again with the power of the Spirit. And to remember then, also regarding those that have left thy courts here. Some have, as it were, gone back into the world. Forsaken thy courts in that way. Thou canst bring them back. Thou canst put into their heart, yes, through perhaps that which was spoken by a servant of the Lord many years ago. Bring about once again an awakening as that which cannot be hidden, and that good seed which has been taking root downward begins to break forth into the light. May it please, it might be so. Bring them back as prodigals, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And those in their rebellions that have left here, what solemn things we have seen. Solemn things indeed. Left to man left to himself. How rebellious. Yes, goes against the word of God. Rejects the word of God in that way. We plead, do bring back the rebellious. Thou canst turn the heart of man and make a man willing in the day of thy power to do that which is right in thy sight. Yes, we plead then that thou wouldest, if it could please thee, if it is according to thy most holy will, Thou canst work in the heart of this one or that one where they are this day. In their rebelliousness. They've hardened their hearts. Yes, they harden their hearts against the word of the Lord. Solemn. How solemn. And it brings us to this. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. It brings us to this. Lord, keep me. Guard me, guide me. The hymn writer put it like this. Save me from the rocks and shells, but save me chiefly from myself. How we need thee to keep us and guard us. Prevent us, yes, from bringing shame, reproach upon thy most holy name. That name is above every name. And if Christ has been made precious to us, how solemn indeed if we should ever be left to bring shame, reproach upon thy name. Lord, ever keep us. Keep this poor one as we stand up in thy name. Oh, for we trust and verily believe thou hast been made precious unto us, and one another of us here it has been so. It is a name which is very precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. So to keep us in the hour of temptation. But oh, if we're brought into those times and seasons when it's like it was with Nathan, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman. Thou art the child. May we know what it is to be like also David when there was a power of the Spirit working within him. Creating me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within. So we read it in that psalm, that penitential psalm, when he's brought to that place as a penitent sinner. Oh, thou art the man, he is brought into that condemnation. He had sinned against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Yes, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Oh, yes, may we know each of us, for we know that where there's no chastening, shall we not have reason to think we should be a bastard and not a son? But that chastening, and we read concerning chastening, no chastening for the present simply joyous but grievous, but nevertheless afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. May we not strive against any chastenings of the Lord, but all to be so softened under the hand of God like David, creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. And so we plead for Zion. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And if it could please him, build us up again, here and elsewhere, such as thou wilt save. Cause this one or that one to turn in. Like those Greeks of old, sir, we would see Jesus. May it please him, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. Remember also this guilty land and nation. We have sinned. We turn thee the back and not the face. Oh, how solemn. The law is slacked as regards the law of the land. It now actively encourages abomination. For it gives legality to it. To walk in those ways which are so displeasing to thee. Oh, we plead, do turn us once again as a nation, we shall be turned. Show our leaders what they ought to do. But frustrate their evil designs. We feel the floodgate is open. Stem that awful tide if it could please you. And turn the tide if it could please you. Oh, may there be yet those raised up to stand for the truth. Thank thee that we saw or heard of one a little while ago, a few weeks ago, that made that bold stand as regards his faith. And may it please, it might be an encouragement to one or another to likewise stand up and be counted. And stand fast and firm for the truth in the face of, no doubt, it will be opposition. But to make their voice heard, which is according to thy word and according to thy truth. But oh, we thank thee that thou hast maintained to us the liberty to gather in thy courts. Who hath made us to differ? Oh, grace, is it not? Sovereign grace that abounds over a poor sinner and his sin. Oh, we thank thee. Oh, may it be today a day in thy courts which is better than a thousand. So as we've been drawn from the various scenes, oh, it might be so. Make one in our midst. Do us each good and send an empty way. And break the bread of life unto us. Oh, we thank thee for all thy mercies and thy favours, temple. We would not be unmindful of them. Thou hast given. We've lacked nothing. The world looks upon it as their right, or they have a and they look upon it as fortune, luck and chance that they have this or that. But those things as regards providence, we see the hand that has given, the bountiful hand of God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so thou hast. We thank thee. But now, O Lord, do enable us, favour us with those crumbs that may fall from the Master's table, a little sip from the well of salvation. So we plead now for the pardon of every sin, and all we've asked amiss, we plead all these things, pleading for Christ's sake, and His sake alone. Amen.
The notices are that, God willing, Mr. John Hart will preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day evening. As helped, there'll be a read address during the prayer meeting, a read sermon during the morning service. I have omitted to bring with me the details of the collection, and will, God willing, give that out this evening service. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 515, hymn 515, tune Ephraim 463. Holy Ghost, we look to thee. Raise the dead, the captive free. From the mighty take the prey. Teach the weak to watch and pray. Now, dear Lord, the heavens rend. Make some haughty rebel bend. Life and light and truth impart to some careless sinner's heart. Thine it is the church to bless and to comfort in distress, trembling helpless souls to guide safe to Jesus' wounded side. Hymn 515, tune Ephraim 463.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the Acts of the Apostles and the fourth chapter. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and we'll read verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and reading verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know that it is regarding that in the Acts here, when Peter and John, there was that healing of that lame man, and then it seemed to stir up the Sadducees, did it not? But you'll have to read those chapters at your leisure. But the sum and substance of the gospel, which are both Peter and John and the apostles preached, was this. It was Christ. The name of Christ. Jesus Christ. There is. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I failed to read that chapter in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. I know I've said oftentimes, yes, you read Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and plead that the Lord might open it up to your understanding, the good of your soul. It speaks much of Christ. It speaks all of Christ. And declares who Christ is and what Christ came for. As regards that condescending to this lower world, why he came. It speaks of that which he has accomplished. And it speaks of that one now ascended on high, having accomplished all in the sinner's room place instead. Another verse that also came to my mind, and yet I was tossed as regard the text, but I ventured in the end to settle upon, I trust in that way, led of the Spirit, what we've read. But all that chapter we read in Hebrews, this covenant, verses 16 and 17, this covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Yes, and we had, do we not, in that first hymn number 767, is that a prayer for desire of one or another here. As I said, you read and plead that the Lord by the Spirit will open up to you that gracious understanding of Christ in all his beauty, his perfections, etc., his offices in that epistle to the Hebrews. I trust just in little measure. My soul rejoices in that epistle. I know I've said before, but those chapters 2 and 4 especially. But when you read the whole of that epistle, from the beginning to the end, yes, what a mercy that it is left on record, that one that hath accomplished all, now sitteth on the right hand of the Father as that glorious high priest, that advocate with the Father. Yes, we know he had something, well, before I quote that regarding the first hymn, but we had it something in that second hymn just now, did we not, regarding what the apostle also testifies in this same epistle. One prophet, king and priest, Christ. Yes, as our prophet, king and priest. And what a mercy when it's made known unto a rebel, one that was rebellious, one that was conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity. And under the power of the Spirit, they were convinced of their sin. Know what it is to tremble under that law. And as the apostle speaks much concerning the law, as we read it, the law of Moses, and we know it was the law of God, it was given to Moses. A man cannot satisfy it. Man cannot satisfy it. And perhaps you know a little of that trembling under the law. Ah, yes, the law and its demands and what it demands of you. It doesn't give up in any of its demands. A hymn came to my mind, I looked at it. I know I'm going from one to another at the moment. But if I can find it. But it came to my mind a week or so ago. A hymn of Berridge's. Hymn 49. We read there in that hymn, the law demands a weighty debt, and not a single mite will bate, but gospel sings of Jesus' blood, and says it made the payment good. Ah, yes, the law demands. And as we had in those two hymns, then, it speaks much of what the apostle declared, and delighted to declare. And it is by the Holy Ghost, as the second hymn we've had, it is by the Holy Ghost, which is that which leads and teaches into all truth as it is in Jesus. And the Holy Ghost that works in the heart of a poor sinner makes that haughty rebel bend, takes out the heart of stone and gives those living desires. They know what it is. Yes. Like we had in that psalm this morning for the prayer meeting. They come up to the house of God because there's that wrought in their heart. They desire Christ. They desire Christ to be made known unto them. And so in the second hymn, the first hymn we had, Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine. Was that your desire? Is that your desire? Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. That light that illuminates, I know often refer to that at the beginning of John's Gospel in that first chapter. That light that shines into our darkness. And shows us that darkness we didn't comprehend before, had no knowledge of it. For that darkness, we were in that deadness. But when that light shines, it comes with that light and life and that moving within. And that darkness is then known and felt and perceived. Yes, I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. And who can know it? And when the Spirit brings that one to know it, it is that light that shines within. But what does that light bring? It brings about that guilt. Guilt under the law. And what the law demands. Utmost perfection. Ah, yes, as that hymn we said just now, that one of Berridge's. It doesn't abate anything. Doesn't give in on anything. There's no easing of the law. To give a bit of help to this sinner and that sinner in his sins. It demands and ever will demand. And the poor sinner finds he cannot satisfy it. He has need of a sacrifice. Well, when we think of those sacrifices of old, under the Levitical priesthood, they were types and shadows of that which was to come. They couldn't atone for one sin. They had to be done yearly, as we've read. Or as often as sin was discovered or brought to the knowledge, and that one went unto the priest and a sacrifice was made, but there were those yearly sacrifices made by the high priest where he went into the holiest, the holy of holies, once every year. And he went in, yes, yearly, with the blood of the sacrifice. He couldn't enter in there without the blood. And the law demands us not. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. That is the word of God. That is the word of God. Do you know what it is like that hymn 767 then? You know what guilty fears are. The law is charged home to the conscience. You come in guilty. Phil, many know nothing much of that guilt under the law. But oh, when that guilt under the law is made known, a sinner will tremble. For it says, yes, without shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that is not the death of the natural body, that will be each one's part. That which is marred by sin, it shall be returned to the earth, returned dust to the dust. It's a never dying soul. It's a never dying soul. And there's only two places. There's no in between. There's only two places at the end of our days. And the solemnity of it we read, as a tree falls, so it shall lie. As a tree falls, so it shall lie. It brings us to this solemnity. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Yes, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? We each have to stand before the judgment seat of God and answer for the deeds done in the body. It's a solemn thing if we're brought there and we think, well, we've done this and done that in the Lord's name and we've patched up our own inglorious righteousness. It was a filthy rag in that day. The law will still demand. The law will still demand. The soul that sinneth it shall die. But all to be found amongst those. Yes. Those brought to this desire, gracious Spirit. Dove divine, let thy light within me shine. Show me what I have need of. But not only show me what I have need of, but lead me. Yes, the second verse speaks like this. And when we had that hymn, that those two lines seem to stand out from the page. Lead me. Lead me to the Lamb of God. Wash me in his precious blood. The burdened sinner, yes, it speaks of the burdened sinner, the guilty sinner. The burdened, the guilty sinner. Yes, the burdened and guilty sinner. Trembling under the law, searching light has searched him out and shown him even the measure of the hidden evils of the heart. And I have to come like this. I can remember when I was brought into the liberty of the gospel, I was brought to see afterwards more of those evils that I hadn't perceived before. Yes, but when they are revealed to a poor sinner,
Here brought, I know often quote that, those two malefactors that were crucified on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, one wrought upon by the Spirit. He was a vessel of mercy, a chosen vessel. He is brought to look upon one, but in that way of confession, we indeed justly suffer for our deeds, our sins. We indeed justly. But oh, that one there, what a mercy that was wrought in his heart. Ah, was it not this? Give me Christ, or else I die. We indeed justly, I believe, to him it was revealed that his sins deserved an eternal death, eternal punishment. And he had no quarrel with the law of the land. He had no quarrel then with the law of the land, and neither did he under the law of God. Whether you call it the law of Moses, it's the law of God. Ah, condemned. All my guilty fears removed. Ah, you long for that. Where are you looking, poor sinner? Are you still looking to self? Are you still thinking, well, I can make a little improvement here and a little improvement there? Ah, you won't find it. It will make no difference. You're just patching up a garment that, yes, when you read that in the Word of God, it speaks of that garment, and that one putting a patch in, it makes a rent worse. May have an effect for a time. You think, well, that's done it now. Yes, and it's soon under a bit of movement or action, it breaks out round it. And the rent becomes worse than what the original rent was. There is no salvation to be found in any other. Take note, poor sinner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the word of God. But our my mind went to that one, Simeon of old, this morning in the early hours. But oh, what a mercy that was wrought in him. Yes, we know that there was that wrought in his heart, and we really do not. And this is the word of God concerning him as spoken by God. And it's by grace that was wrought in him. He was just and devout. There was that change wrought in him. But no doubt, like that one, that malefactor, he also was brought and had known what it was to be a sinner. Otherwise he would have had no desire for Christ, because he had would have had no need. But oh, Simeon, just and devout, those out wrought in him. But he's waiting for that consolation, the consolation of Israel. And what is that consolation of Israel? Was it not Christ? Although the Jews rejected Christ, but I believe as regards the Israel of God, I know that includes both Jews and Gentiles, but the Israel of God, those surnamed by the name of Israel, those chosen in eternity past, they are brought to that place where they wait. They're brought to wait upon the Lord. They're brought to see there's no hope in themselves. There's no hope in themselves. And yet, as sought it well, the native treasure of their mind, as they prove it so, is sin and death and hell. They know the little of that language of that hymn writer Stocker in 76:7. And they come like this, speak. They long for that consolation like Simeon. You read that as regards Simeon. He is waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. That's a work of the Spirit, not the work of man. Ah, gracious Spirit. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. Yes, and it perhaps has shone in that way, revealed to you your need and your desperate case. And you've been brought to see it is very desperate indeed. Ah, very desperate indeed. Ah, that dying malefactor. What a desperate case. He was there just a few more moments of his life. And he knew then that his natural days would be over. But he saw one, the Lamb of God. Yes. We indeed justly suffer for the deeds done in the body, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He was likewise found waiting upon the Lord, waiting for that consolation of Israel. All my guilty fears remove, with thy atoning blood and love, speak. Speak thy pardoning grace to me. It is in a personal way. Ah, yes, it's in a personal way. And there's reality to it, because it regards the poor sinner. Speak to me. Speak to me. Reveal thyself to me. Ah, yes, and you'll come like this, saying to my soul, I am thy salvation. But oh, speak thy pardoning grace to me. Set the burdened sinner free. Lead me to the Lamb of God. Wash me in his precious blood. Oh, have you been brought to see through the lattice of the gospel? You've heard by the hearing of the ear, not the natural ear anymore, but that the ear of the soul, if I can put it in that way. The Lord has opened the ear of the soul, the heart, the understanding. And that one whose name you heard many a time before over your life, many a sermon preached and the name has been mentioned and it's had no effect upon you, but now you long to lay hold upon him by precious faith. You long for divine reality and to be made known unto you in all his beauty, in all his offices. Yes, as prophet, king and priest. And yes, in that way, that sacrifice by the offering of himself for your sins and the shedding of his own heart blood. For your cleansing. Yes, that precious blood. That sin atoning blood. The blood of bulls and goats on those Jewish altars in the under the Levitical priesthood. How much was shed? But it couldn't do one thing. Couldn't do anything. But it was a type and shadow. All that has been done away. All that has been done away. Yes, by the sacrifice, the offering of himself, the Christ of God, one that truly did condescend. I know it has been unto me, and I trust because it was revealed, I verily believe in that way, in the wondrousness of it, one that was verily God, verily man. If it were not so, I feel that that salvation would be as that offering would be as nothing. He took upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. Yes, made under the law. He came not to do away with the law, but to make it honourable and to fulfil it. And he did fulfil it. In every jot and tittle. Ah, yes. Accusations were made against him. But he was spotless, pure and undefiled. But when in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary, the sins of his chosen, the Israel of God, were laid upon him. Laid upon him. Bore the sin of many, we read. Not the whole world, but bore the sin of many. And by the offering of himself and the shedding of his own heart's blood, it satisfied the law. It satisfied the law. No more offerings are needed. No more sacrifices needed. But it opened up that new and living way for a poor sinner in our day. And what is that? Yes, you won't be brought to that place where you're sinless and then you venture unto the Lord. But there's that new and living way where a poor sinner, often quote those lines, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead is entered in there. Not only as a sacrifice, having offered himself and to the satisfaction of the law, is entered in there as a glorious high priest. After the order of Melchizedek. Ah, with no beginning and no end. Entered in there. And waits to be gracious. Blessed be God, he waits to be gracious. And that poor sinner that is brought to plead the name of Christ. Yes, he will hardly at times feel he can take that name upon his lips, but the Spirit will enable him so to do. To take that name upon his lips by faith and plead that sin atoning blood. Yes, there's no salvation to be found in any other. No other name. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that malefactor, I believe, is brought to see this. He saw in one. The other one didn't see it. His eyes were blinded. His heart was so hardened. And he died in his sins. And his end was there. Where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. But under that one wrought upon by the Spirit. Confessing his sins and venturing by faith. Yes, he still felt to be a sinner. We indeed justly. We indeed justly. Suffer for those deeds, our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, but he was brought to behold the Lamb of God. And the Spirit enabled him to plead this. Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom. And the answer was given to him. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And what a difference between the one who died in his sins. Never brought to cry for mercy. Ah, that place prepared. That place prepared. Yes, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Ah, yes, that peace. Did he not know that peace? I believe you read that hymn 925. That peace by his cross, I believe that one, that malefactor would have known it. Ah, yes, that malefactor would have known it. It would have been imparted to him. Yes, lead me to the Lamb of God. He is led to the Lamb of God. And I believe that precious blood was made known unto him that day, and the efficacy of it, he felt it. Ah, yes, that life-giving power. Life and peace to me impart. Seal salvation on my heart. Breathe thyself into my breast. Earnest of immortal rest. And so like Simeon, waiting. Ah, yes, waiting. Perhaps you feel like one there, Simeon, waiting. You wait daily at the post of his gates, at the post of his doors and at his gates, and you know it is often time to enter into the closet. Lord, remember me. Have mercy upon me. That little hope been raised up, perhaps over many years, a little hope, a little exercise, and yes, so you prove like Simeon, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Gave him that patience to wait. There was that appointed time. Ah, yes, and you read that regarding Simeon. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. We know many saw the Lord. But the Lord's Christ, the Christ of God. Ah, yes, the one that truly did satisfy the law in the sinner's room, place and stand. Came to do his Father's will. And so he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the Lord's Christ, the Christ of God. Ah, yes, you read of the sufferings of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. Ah, yes, when he bore the sword of divine justice, and so he did. But it satisfied the law. For the whole Israel of God. Or is that your concern? Is it mine? Am I amongst that number? Am I found like Simeon? Do I know a little of that path of Simeon? Or do I know a little of the malefactor that was brought to cry for mercy? There'll be that time appointed like it was with that one, the malefactor. Didn't die without hope. He died without hope. Died in faith. And Simeon, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him up in his arms and blessed God and said, is that your desire? You might likewise by faith take up Christ, the Christ of God, in your arms. Yes, the arms of faith, living faith. He's able then to say, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, that salvation made known unto him, which was by and through Christ alone. None other. There is no other way, no other name. But all the time has gone. Lord, there's no other name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. And so as we had read that chapter in Hebrews, that covenant which is made known unto them by the Holy Ghost, the law becomes a delight. It's not written in tables of stone. They walk in the fear of the Lord, the tender fear of the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And then this poor sinner, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 141. Hymn 141 to the tune Norman 196. Behold the sure foundation stone which God in Zion lays, to build our heavenly hopes upon, and his eternal praise. Chosen of God, to sinners dear, the saints adore the name. They trust their whole salvation here, nor shall they suffer shame. Hymn 141, to Norman 196.
Yeah.
Lord, be pleased to bless thy word. Oh, may it go forth in the power of the Spirit of the living word, that living word of thy grace. Ah, oh, that bread of life sent down from heaven, which is Christ, that some poor sinner may taste, handle and feel of thy goodness and thy mercy. They might taste that thou art gracious. Ah, thou art gracious. And so we plead thy blessing upon thy word. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do be pleased to come up with us at the evening hour. Grant in the midst of the day that burden and exercise as regards the evening hour, and especially as we come up to labour once again. Thou hast emptied us, and now, O Lord, we wait again upon thee. We bart an empty earthen vessel, we trust, made fit for the Master's use, sanctified for the Master's use. Oh, do sanctify once again, we plead, and give that to speak. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.